Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, I'm Lawrence Okoli, and I've just been on Tea with Tay podcast.
Yo, guys, so this is a very different day in my studio today because I'm very proper because I have a world champion on my couch. So I don't want to do any. And this guy is known for boxing the shit out of people. So, guys, please put your hands together for the WBO Cruiserweight Champion in the building, Lawrence. Lawrence Okoli, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
Very well. Welcome to Lagos.
Thank you.
When last were you in Lagos?
Oh, it's been over 10 years now. So it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Well done. So you were born in Hackney?
Hackney, London, yeah.
What's Hackney like? Because I heard that it's like the hood
area. Well, when I was younger, it was definitely, you know, the hood area. Now they put a little bit more because the Olympics into it. But growing up, yeah, it was a tough area, but I think it helps build character. There's a lot of gang violence. It's probably a bit different to how it is here. It's more postcodes. It's more like you live on that road, you're friends with that guy. And, you know, it caused a lot of tension growing up and a lot of tension with us and the police. But, you know, as we've gotten older and they've started to gentrify the area a lot more, it's eased a little bit and it's moved to different areas.
Yeah, amazing. But you were born to Nigerian parents who...
Yes.
Lived in London at the time. You said your mom is...
Mom Yoruba. My dad's Igbo, yeah.
Yeah. What's that dynamic like for you?
It was interesting. It was interesting growing up, you know, because my dad would be your Igbo and my mom would be, hey, you're mixed. So it was interesting. Obviously, but they spoke Yoruba with each other, so it was easy for me to understand it. And yeah, it was just a good dynamic. Obviously, all of the food that we ate, me and my siblings, was Nigerian growing up and so on and so forth. And even the area that I was in, I was quite fortunate because a lot of people that came to the area were first generation. Well, we were all first generation in London. So All of our neighbours were either Nigerian or Ghanaian. So we had a good sort of community feel.
Oh, so your parents probably migrated at some point to the UK.
Yeah.
And had you guys.
Yeah.
Do you have like a lot of cousins and siblings?
I'm not really cousins in... but it's more, I have siblings, I have three siblings, but it was more, for example, my next door neighbour, his parents came from Nigeria, so we're the same age. So everyone on the road was quite fortunate. We were all African kids, but we all saw the same sort of, anything that was going on in my house was going on in my neighbour's house, was going on.
Right.
So it kind of created that community feel.
Yeah. It's always a good one to have a community
for sure
around you. But I need to understand boxing, right?
Yeah.
So I know that you're a world champion, but I think they're different weight categories. Can you help me understand boxing as...
Yeah, so in boxing, there's everyone, you have to weigh in on a particular day at a particular weight. So heavyweight, which is the one just above the weight I am, is like any weight. So someone like Anthony Joshua weighs in, he can weigh in anything he wants. I have to be... 200 pounds on the day of the weigh-in, and then it goes sort of down in weight. So someone really small can't fight someone really big in boxing because it's disadvantaged. So everyone's the same weight.
Oh
yeah.
So are you saying that maybe Mayweather, for example?
Yeah.
What weight does he belong?
He'd be like welter. So someone like him and myself couldn't fight because it's too big a weight difference. You know, he'll be like 5'7". I'm 6'5". Right. So yeah, it doesn't make sense.
But it doesn't. Does he put the value on the championship? Weight.
It really depends on the fighter. So someone else could have this belt and it wouldn't be a big deal, or I could have it, it'll be a big deal. So it depends on each fighter. Mm. Obviously, the magnitude of the fact you won the world title, everyone is pushing for it. So as soon as you win it, it's an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah. So I read somewhere that you used to work at McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah. And
how old were you then?
I was, I think, 16 to 18 working there. Yeah.
So you wanted to, at the time, were you already boxing?
No, I was actually, like, it was an interesting time in my life because, you know, we were like looking for a bit more money and there was no job, like literally no jobs. I tried so many different interviews, so much stuff, and nowhere would really, you know, give out jobs. But then for some reason, someone said, just try McDonald's. But in those days, I don't even know what it's like now, everyone's like, you're going to work at McDonald's? It was kind of like, obviously you needed money. So I was just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to.
Is the money good? Like,
okay. No, it's not. You know what I mean?
Because I'm thinking like compared to Nigeria, if you're working like in a Mr. Biggs or something. Like,
yeah.
Is this the same equivalent?
It's probably, it's minimum wage. So it's like the lowest that you can get paid legally in London is what I was getting paid.
Can you live like a decent life? Can you get a car? Can you live?
I don't say you can't live a decent, you can live a minimum wage. So I couldn't support a family on that. But myself, you know, helping out with little bits and bobs at home, it was enough to do that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
So when did you finally decide to go like professional and become a boxer?
I actually working in McDonald's, and then there was a particular break that happened, and Anthony Joshua, who I didn't know at the time, was boxing in the Olympics in 2012.
Right.
And I remember my manager that day, you know, I came in with my brother, we were like two minutes late maximum, and then he started shouting, oh, you're late, you're this, you're that. I remember I'm 6'5", my brother's 6'5", and there's some little guy just there, shy.
The audacity.
I was thinking like, and as soon as you step out of the work environment, they're just a little guy. But in this scenario, it's the boss shouting. And I remember, and obviously my brother's like, oh, just leave and whatever. And I was like, nah, whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's chill. And then that lunch break, that particular day, it got pushed back. So he's like, you're late, you're going to have to stay longer and whatever. So then it's a blessing now, because that lunch break came an hour later. Yeah. And then I just happened to be on the TV in the break room, and then the Olympics was happening. And then that lunch break, Usain Bolt won his another gold medal in the Olympics. And then I remember thinking, wow, he did it again or whatever. Then the last thing was AJ having the gold medal fight. And I remember watching it, seeing him, this big, like, strong guy, doing a bit of research. He was Nigerian, whatever, and grew up in a similar kind of area. Mm. And I see him win the gold, and I was just like, I'm big. I could do that. Like, you know what I mean? So then that day, I remember just saying to my...
But before then, you didn't have any boxing experience?
Yeah,
you're not athletic at all?
No, like, I wasn't. I was overweight. You know, growing up, I was really overweight. So I was like, I'd known what boxing is, but I'd never really taken it seriously. But then at that point, I was just like, that's the one. Do you know what I mean? I think I can do that. You know what I mean? Because I had so many street fights, at the time, I thought, it's the same thing. But it's not the same thing, but Street fights, yeah. Just
tell me about the street fights.
Yeah, so the street fights, obviously, I think, growing up, where my name, Lawrence Jr., Ikechukwu Oluwatobi Okoli, it's like, in England, they don't really understand the African names.
Mm-hmm.
So, because my name's Lawrence Jr., my dad's name's Lawrence, at home they called me Ikechukwu or Jr. So when I got to school, they were like, oh, his name's Lawrence. But I was like, no, my name's Ikechukwu. And then I forced the teachers to call me that, and then the other kids. But then as we got older, they were like, would make fun of it. And because I was, you know, overweight as well, it was just building up. So I remember just accepting that as my reality when I was younger, like running home from school. And like I said, it was a gang area, so it was very dangerous, like, and you had to be careful who you got into, you know, arguments with and stuff. But then once I started boxing, I started losing the weight, started getting more confident in myself, you know, and then that sort of shifted the whole dynamic of my life, and, you know, we went from there.
Yeah. So, like, you wrote a book. Let's talk about you actually getting into boxing, right? So after you watched Anthony Joshua, you inspired.
Yeah.
Did you register for like an amateur class?
That's the one. Yeah. So I went to amateur gym and I just said, and they said, wow, everyone's coming now. Because it was Olympics in London, it created so much hype around sports. Mm. So I went in and from the first day, I knew. So someone just told me, yeah, this is the one. Because I got in there, I was still heavy, but I was hitting.
How old were you then?
I was like 17, 18 at the time. And I was 17, turning 18, yeah. I remember I was hitting the bags, whatever. And then the coaches were coming up to me like, whoa, like, have you done this before? I was like, no. But, you know, but I'm hitting.
What, been on the streets?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And so I was like, and they're like, well, you've got so much power and stuff like that. But I thought maybe they're just saying it so that I can come and pay them more money, everything. But then they're like to me, jump in the ring and like spar. Like, but now I realize that was a crazy thing for them to ask me to do because I had no experience. But like, get in there and you have someone else, you put the head guard on and the gum shield and then they throw punches. You're having a fight basically. Yeah. And I remember just this guy was an experienced boxer. I was inexperienced and I was just kind of moving and then just getting into a fight and then I hit the guy. He didn't fall down, but you know when you hit someone hard and it makes them kind of whoa.
Yeah.
Then from that, all the coaches are like, make sure you're back on Wednesday. Guy. Make sure. So I went the Wednesday, then the Friday, then kept on going. And then from there, I just fast-tracked everything, started having fights, winning. And then I got to the 2016 Olympics 4 years later, which was unheard of at the time. And then, yeah, we just kept that going.
What did that do for you as someone who was overweight and bullied in school? What did fighting in that space and having coaches who would encourage you to do more, what did it do for your own?
Oh, it changed me completely as a person because, you know, outside of your parents, I'm quite logical when it comes to thinking and just in general. So
yeah.
I'm at home and I say, oh, I feel this way or I feel that way. Your parents are meant to say, no, you're amazing, you're whatever.
Yeah.
So I know that. So when they say it, I'm just like, yeah, you have to say that, innit? But then when some coaches are saying it, I said to myself, they just want my money. But then when I started seeing the results, I was like, oh, they might be right. I am good. You're right. Do you know what I mean? And then another thing is the accountability. I didn't realize how important that was. So outside of my parents, there's no one that I was accountable to besides myself. Mm. So if I wanted to train before boxing, I would go for a run. And then as soon as I got tired, that's enough for today. I'm just going to walk back home. But when you have coaches and stuff, it's like if you say you're going to do 10 push-ups, and you stop at 5, they're going to, what? You said 10. Mm. So you have to do the extra 5. So that just instilled so much like discipline and so much like confidence and all those different attributes came together. And even speaking, I wasn't that good a speaker, but then you have to deal with so many different types of people in boxing, older people, younger people, coaches, whatever. So I started becoming a bit more confident just all around.
So you were not exactly confident before? And you're probably shy.
Correct.
And these people helped you get there. So when was your first competition at the Olympics?
It was July of or August of 2016. So that was against Poland. It was a crazy experience. Mm. Just getting to the Olympics was amazing. Because I wasn't supposed to, in theory. And I started boxing not long before.
What do you mean you're not supposed to?
So really, in boxing, most people start at 9, 10, 11, like when they're children, and then they train for 10 years, and then they're really good, then they go to Olympics. But I was here just naturally physically strong and just really athletic. So that helped me bypass so many people who had been training for years. So even in the Great Britain team, they were like, we were probably 2020 Olympics, that's the one that we're gonna take you for. But I was like, nah, it's this one, 2016. And then I managed to get there. And that was amazing.
So your first gig, you won?
Yeah, so first fight in the Olympics, I won. But no, that's not the first fight. So I had fights from 2012 to 2016. So in 2016 was you qualify for the Olympics.
So like you had local fights?
I had local fights, yeah.
And you were winning all of them?
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, well, the Olympics is worldwide. So you have to win the European amateurs.
Yeah.
So it's two sports, amateur and a professional. So amateur is Olympics and all these, you know, that, you know, it's all medals as opposed to belts.
Right.
So, but you try to get to Olympics because if you get to Olympics in England, you get a big deal to turn professional. So the aim was just,
let me get there.
Let me get there.
But were you confident when you were doing all these things or you just went out on a limb.
Honestly, it shocks me today that I even managed. Like, obviously, I'm blessed and I feel confident.
Yeah.
But every time I was winning, I was just like, what is going on?
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. And it's just like, even qualifying for the Olympics, I was on the plane to the qualifiers thinking, I'm the one from England that's coming here. Now, that's crazy in itself. Then I had the first fight, knocked the guy out. I said, I have to do three more and I'm going to the Olympics.
Yeah. Then I've been people have been fighting for a long time.
And that's what I'm saying. So what was really funny is that we have cards. It's, I don't, like, you have like a record sheet in your, in the amateurs where it says win, loss, whatever. Mm. And mine, it was like 2 pages long of boxing where these guys had multiple books and all the, and then so when we used to go to sign in on the day, they get to quickly look at your book and then they would look and say, what these 2 pages like, and just be, and then put it down and be like, you're gonna,
I think like, because they probably thought that you're an amateur, so
yeah, they just
probably didn't put it in much.
100%. And then, but then when they see it in tournament, it's hard to, you can't escape it because bang, someone's gone. That, so that's the energy I was on, especially where I came from as well. It was very much savage.
Do you think there's a bit of Nigerian-ness to this? 100%.
100%. Like, generally, that's what I said. Like, it's important for me even coming back.
Yeah.
It's like, there's so much strength and natural, like, energy around Nigerians. And like, if you go back to, like, in England, there's such a big community in America, whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone has the same energy. Do you know what I mean? It's all, go get it, you know, like, we're the lively ones, whatever. So bringing that to the boxing is the exact same thing. Just bring that energy and like, oh yeah, I'm going to go for it.
Amazing. Let's talk about your relationship with Anthony Joshua. When did that start? How did that come about? How's it going now?
Yes. So that one came about maybe 2014, 14 or so. I think what happened is no one wanted to spar him. So sparring is where you practice with someone. And because he was knocking everybody out and he's so big, everyone was just like, nah, no matter how much he was offering people big money. I remember how it was when I first got paid. I was like, oh, I've done it. So he was really giving people real money to come, but no one wanted to. So I went the first time, I was a little bit nervous.
Like a public fight?
Not public, like in the gym to prepare you for the public fight. Right. You pay people to get in and...
You pay them?
Yeah, so I now have to pay people to spar me. So, yeah, so... You don't, because I'm punching them, they're punching me, so
I have to give them something. So this is real, it's not be play fight.
Yeah, it's not play inside, it's real, but it's not as bad as a normal fight, because you have a head guard,
Give me an idea of how much you pay.
It depends on, like, the person, to be honest, but you'll pay them, like, in pounds, like, you know, £1,000 a week, something like that, so they can, and they don't have to do that much. Well, I say that, it's hard work.
Can I register? Cause
you can say that.
£1,000 are like 700
kilos. People say that, but then it's in the actual reality when you've done one or two rounds, it's like, is it worth the money? Do you know what I mean? So that's what ends up happening.
But would you hurt me?
Would I hurt you? Depends. If I'm paying, I have to get my money's worth. If it's free, then we joke.
What do you mean your money's worth? Are you not preparing for championship?
Yeah, but that's it. So you have to prepare by physically, you know.
So it's the same energy as you would have.
It's similar. Like, it's hard. It's because on the day, it's impossible to recreate because you've got the crowd, you know.
Mm.
This is the one. There's a couple cameras on that day. It's all week. It's cameras. And when you're walking to the ring, this is your time, champ. Come on, do it for your family. And you're just like, oh my, yo, yeah, I better. So you know,
have there been times when they were beating you up silly and you're just like, my family's here, do I want to really fall my hand?
No, fortunately, as a professional, I haven't had any of those, you know, that. But in the fight, sometimes, like, even the last one I had, it's like, when it's harder than you wanted it to be, but I have to think in my head different things to motivate you, because it's hard. It's like if you go for a run or you're doing anything, it gets tough. You have to say to yourself, do I want to carry on? But then the stuff that motivates me, I push on with.
Yeah, we're talking about Anthony and how you guys became.
Mm-hmm. So he was paying people to spar. No one to spar. But me, I wanted the money as well. So I said, all right, cool, I'm going to show up. So I got in there, we did our rounds, and then afterwards, he sat me down. He's like, well, you're really good, you know? And these times I was thinking, why would he? Because, you know, I'm very skeptical.
Yeah.
Why is this person saying that I'm good? Why? Mm. I wasn't really sure of myself. So when he was saying, I was thinking, what does he gain? He's a millionaire, Olympic gold medalist. Why is he telling me this stuff? Maybe, maybe I am good. So now come again, the same, and then someone else. And then what I always remember of going to the gym, is that there's always different people sitting around the ring. And every time I came, they wouldn't know who I was. I'll just come and they'll be like, oh, what are you doing here today? Like, I'm sparring AJ. They're like, oh, good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, every time. And then after I finish sparring, they'll be like, oh, mate, what's your name? Like, who are
that? You so, did that.
Yeah, so it was really...
Anthony's such a big... I know he's a big deal, but like people run away from sparring with him.
Yeah, like, because it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard work. Like, it's hard. When you're at that level, it's hard, especially when you're big, strong. It's like, it's people, like boxers always, everyone looks at boxers like they're some big, strong, like, he's a champion. But a lot of boxers are just like happy to be boxers and don't really want to take any risks. But that's why the ones that are like that are the ones that go on to accomplish great things.
Amazing. So I was going to ask about your book. I saw on Instagram that you're promoting a book, Dare to Change Your Life.
Yes, yes, yes.
What inspired that book?
To be honest, it's just everything around working at McDonald's, being bullied, the whole change in mindset from there to becoming a world champion. And it's not really like a biography. Like, I didn't want to write a biography. I wanted it to be, it's a 41-step, you know, guide to motivation, to changing your life. And it's transferable to any walk of life. You know, I wanted it to be so if you're a doctor or if you're a plumber, it's the same kind of attributes you transfer. And I had an interview with a woman who's like big in England, and she heard my story, you know, same way I'm saying to you.
Yeah.
And she almost started crying in the room. She's just like, no, I've been so moved, whatever else. And I was there kind of like, what's wrong with this woman? Then after she approached me, like, I think you need to get this down on paper or whatever. It can motivate so many people.
Mm.
And initially I was a bit like, nah, I don't really want to do it. But then she said to me something like, how would you feel if you were able to talk to your younger self and tell them things could be different if you just do X, Y, Z? And I thought that was a really important message. And, you know, yeah, that's why I did it. And I was happy. And I was actually quite shocked by how well it did. Like, it became like a Amazon number one seller, stuff like that. And yeah, I was proper taken aback because people were reading it and then telling their friends to read it and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's good. They're doing a new release coming up in, I think it's May as well. So, yes, it must have done really well.
I need to get my hands on
sure,
that
we'll,
book.
We'll definitely sort it out.
But what are the necessary learnings that you think that people will get when they read the book?
I think there's little bits for everyone, but the key points that always stand out to me is accountability and belief, like self-belief. So I think anything anyone wants to achieve is only possible if they actually believe in themselves. So I think, you know, you're doing podcasts and everything like that. You have to believe, you know, I can come in there, I can talk to anyone and I can, you know, have a great conversation. So if you didn't believe that, you wouldn't do your research. You wouldn't come here and say, you'd be a little bit more reserved. But once you believe in yourself, you do anything it takes to get there. And then same with accountability. I think once you hold yourself accountable and you get people around you that can hold you accountable, it promotes like growth within yourself, because a lot of times we hide away from accountability when you don't want to do something.
True.
You're on a diet. I'm going to have this extra cake. No one's going to tell you. If you do it in secret, no one's going to tell you. But if you say to, you know, your friends or your family, you say, I'm on a diet. If you see me eating cake, slap out of my hands. Do you know what I mean? And it's, and in that way, even the days where you don't, even the days where you personally want to eat cake, because we all do that. My friends,
I always want to eat cake.
This is it. I always want to eat cake.
It's tough.
It's, but you know, if you've got friends that will pull it out of your hands.
Ah, I don't have those friends. You give it to me.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So once you've got that, it helps, because we're all human. Like, I enjoy a lot. I enjoy lots of stuff. Do you know what I mean? But it's up to myself, the time to catch myself. And if I can't catch myself, maybe one of my friends can. And if they can't, then it was all doomed anyway.
Hmm. So, I mean, speaking of accountability, right? So I imagine that you have a very tough routine, because, I mean, if you're a world champion, that's the things that you have to do to maintain that energy and just be a champion. Like, so what's your typical routine? Like, are you always training every day? Are you always in the ring?
Yeah. I think my training routine is I do three or so months of hard training, then 1 month of just rest and act and, like, light training. So I'm in that 1 month of light training stuff. In the actual training camps, it will be wake up in the morning, go for a run or some sort of cardio, before I eat breakfast. I might have a nice tea or whatever else and then go and hit the run. So then after the, no one else got that. Yeah. after the run, I come home, eat like a little bit of breakfast or whatever else. And then I go to the gym to do boxing, where it's a more intense session where, you know, I'm either sparring or I'm, you know, hitting the bags or training with my coach. Then I go home, eat some more, rest, and then do weight training in the evening. So you do
every day.
You do 6 days a week, 1 day rest. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
So every day you're training.
Every day. But you get used to it. The first couple of weeks, I won't lie, it's not fun. It's not easy. But after a while, your body just readjusts, and then.
So now that you're in Lagos, are you training as well?
So I'm doing light training every day. I'll do some. There's a gym where we're staying, so we'll do cardio, we'll do some weights, but it's not as intense as when I'm preparing for a fight.
So what happens when you don't train? Do you have to train every other time?
Oh, you have to, because the other person is training to knock your head off. So if you're not training and they're training, on the day it'll show. You know, someone will win, someone will lose. So you have to do what it takes to make sure you're the winner.
So, but what, do you have time for other things? Do you party? Do you? Chill with family?
I think the party and stuff is mainly after I win. I do, because I don't drink. It's like partying. I don't drink. Yeah, so
you don't drink.
Yeah, I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't do like.
How do you survive this cruel world?
Yeah, I know. But it's just with that one. I think I had to build up a getting used to it. But I did say to myself, you know, after the Olympics, I need to sacrifice a few things to be world champion. So. Alcohol was one of them.
I heard that you're vegan.
Yeah, that as well. So I only did it for the same thing. I said, I'm going to sacrifice meat, I'm going to sacrifice alcohol, and I'm going to see what happens. And then so, I managed to win.
You never even tried suya?
When I was younger, I ate all of it. But then when I got to 2016, I stopped and said, like I said, I'm going to sacrifice meat and alcohol for boxing and see if boxing gives me anything back. And fortunately, it has, so...
But bro, you have sacrificed a lot.
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
But
you know, I said to myself, not even because I just thought to myself, I've said to myself, no meat, no alcohol, and boxing did well. So I just feel like if I ate meat or drank some alcohol.
It will not do, but you're already a champion.
I want to stay champion.
As I'm thinking, I want to invite you to because I'm going to drink some nice booze.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Really?
I do have a cabinet full of like premium alcohol that people have gifted me and I've got over the years. So when I finish boxing, I'm going to crack one open. So if you've got something to give me, I don't mind. I'll
so you'll keep those drinks till you retire?
Yeah. So as soon as I've retired, I'll be back on the drink.
On the streets?
Yeah. They'll see me.
What do you eat then?
So it depends. My mum has been like very good. So she's managed to change because I love like Nigerian food. So
yeah.
But sometimes there's a lot of like palm oil or different stuff in it. So she's managed to find a way to kind of make it more healthy and vegan friendly. So she's taken, you know, even just stuff like, you know, pounder jam, gusi, she'll make the same thing, not put the meat in there, but she might put tofu or some sort of substitute. So she's been good.
Right. So let's talk about the belts on display, right? So they're like heavy belts. That's my favorite one.
Which one? This one, yeah. That's my favorite as well. Yeah.
So, like, tell me about each one of the belts.
So, the black one is the WBA Continental. So that one was the first one. That's when I first did the O2 headline. It's always close to me. Then we've got the Commonwealth belt. So that's your champion of all the Commonwealth countries. And then the European, so that's champion of Europe. So those are the main ones. But the one that I enjoy and I'm happiest to get is the world title, because it's the one everyone, as soon as you start boxing, you watch the champions before and say, oh, one day I'm going to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that day came and we're still going strong.
How did you feel when you won that?
Honestly, yeah, it was like a mixed feeling because like I'd accomplished it, but I just felt like there's more for me. It was weird because I've seen people cry. I've seen people do like, but when I won, I was just like, yeah, nice. Like, I was just, trust me, even my coach was like, you've won, you've done it. Like, and I was just like, so, do you know what I mean? So it was quite like.
So what's really next if you've won this?
I think for me, I would like to win a few more of them.
Okay.
And for me, the stuff outside of boxing is what really, like, I've loved boxing and boxing is my number one, but I like, the business stuff. I like the being able to help my friends and family, and you know, those type of things are the stuff that really, when I'm finished it, I'm like, I go home and I smile. When I win fights, it's like, I'm a good fighter. I mean, that's, right. You know what I mean? What I know how to do, but the other stuff that I wasn't supposed to do, you know, that's the stuff that really excites me.
What other stuff are you involved in?
So like, well, in terms of like, stuff, is I've got like a app called Akoli Fit that's doing really well.
It's an
like
app.
An app is Akoli Fit. So it's one that is, based around diet plan and, training plan, and people get to interact with me and my team in terms of staying motivated at home with training, stuff like that. Then I've got just a bunch of other stuff like franchises that I've you know, partnered with. So that for me is important, and I think it's important in, I guess, worldwide, but I don't know enough about the way that stuff is set up in Nigeria yet. But in England and other places like that, I understand the problems that me and my friends and family had with financial literacy, and like, you know, you get money for the first time and don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I've got, you know, lots of chains, lots of watches and expensive stuff. But
this one looks very expensive.
Thank you. Yeah, but I've got it. But then it's if you get that without anything else, it's stupid. If that makes, let me not, you know, talk down on people. But it's like the first time I got paid any money, the first one when I did, I got a watch. And then I had no money in my bank account, and it's just like, I've just got a watch.
I think that's a rookie's mistake. Because the first time I got money, I buy a shoe.
Okay, fair enough.
Very expensive shoe.
Yeah, hey. You can walk around in those. Yeah. But then with the financial literacy, it's like you understand putting stuff into stocks and shares. What's a franchise? A lot of people, like in my area, we eat loads and loads of chicken and chips because it's cheap.
Yeah.
Easy, walk in, you're in the shop for 2 minutes, you're out.
Yeah.
But then no one knows who owns the shop or who's getting paid. As soon as you realize, oh, franchise, like, hold on, someone's making a lot of money every year off the back of this.
Yeah.
So why not let that person be you? But then why not only let that person be you, but educate people on like how to get into certain positions? Because I think a lot of times everyone's like, just get houses, get houses. It's basic. Do you know what I mean? I think there's so many different avenues, but anyway, that's for the next book.
Lovely. So like, do you have businesses that you've set up already or you're looking to set up?
Yeah, no, I've already got businesses that I've set up. But I'm still eager for more. Like obviously, thank God, you know, I'm a good boxer. So it allows me to be in certain conversations that maybe I wouldn't be in otherwise. So, there's some good stuff in the pipeline.
Amazing. Speaking of good stuff in the pipeline, are you looking to do anything in Nigeria? Like, are you looking to give back now that you're visiting?
Yeah. So for me, this trip was about laying the foundation in terms of like me coming and seeing what's actually like. Meeting with the box and border control, actually getting to grips with what is needed. Because a lot of times I'm in London and people are like, yo, you need to send gloves, send money, send whatever. And it's like, you could do that, but then I think that there's more to it. You know, I think that's the superficial level of shiny, but I think that there's stuff that could be done to promote, highlight, you know, and help with the infrastructure. I had, like, and this is not me talking down on anyone, but I had friends that we're trying to get to Olympics from Nigeria and they told me how difficult it was. So I think it's about, you know, refining stuff, and there's so much strength and power in Nigerians, full stop, throughout history. It's been the way. And it's just about it being refined so that there's more champions, there's more Lawrence, there's more like myself, more like AJ, more like Israel Adesanya, more like Usman, you know, that get to the pinnacle of the sport. But yeah, this is about laying the foundation. We're going to some boxing shows and stuff, and you know, like gifting some of the fighters with some, you know, small money and like some equipment and stuff like that. So I think that's good, just to be on ground to start with, see what it looks like, and then see what we can do the next time we're back, which will be very regular now.
That's good. I mean, you don't have to give back, but I'm thankful that you are giving back. And it's a very good thing. I was going to ask before I let you go. I mean, I'm also round off. Like, do people try to fight you?
No.
Like when,
I always got good security. But,
you know, if I was you,
anybody
would want to try me. Before, I don't...
So,
are you like that? Like, do people try to...
You know what? I think I've got good people around me that always, like, as soon as someone gives off the wrong energy... You know what I mean? They get put to
the side. You wish a nigga would.
This is the thing. I haven't had a street fight in so long. Sometimes I miss it, but you know.
Let's go for mushing.
You want to? I'll get in there, yeah. Fair enough. But is it Street Fighter that they do there or something else?
You will fight. You go test your boxing power.
I'll move you store, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think you guys should pass through Mushin as you're going tomorrow.
Yeah, no, for
just
sure.
Just calm down,
sure.
Play with the boys.
I better go with some money, for real.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been nice having you on my show. I wish you good luck going forward.
Thank you so much.
I need you to help me sign out on the show.
Lawrence Okoli here. I had a wonderful time chatting here. We'll be back in Lagos, Nigeria soon, hopefully in this exact seat with more to tell you. So thank you for watching.
Thank you for watching and listening. Cheers, guys.
Much love.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.